Test 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Thanks, baby. Okay, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. It's actually, it's not regular Shabbat, but it's Shavuot, and Shavuot is a Sabbath, so we can still say Shabbat Shalom, even though it's a day late. Amen.
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 Be there at the appointed time.
is an on-time God, and sometimes we just have to wait on Him. And I promise you tonight, you're going to feel better if you just press in. He's going to touch you and give you new life and new wine and new energy and a new something. So just reach out to Him. Let's all just reach out to Him today. Lord, I want that new something from you tonight.
Laura. Amen. I want the promise of God, Lord.
Yes.
I want the promise of God. Meet with us, Lord, at your appointed time. Meet with us. Meet us where we need you to meet, at our point of need, Lord. Each person has a different point of need. Meet us tonight, Lord.
Wonderful.
la 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 wondrous deeds, O Lord God, be Almighty, just and true are all thy ways, O Lord, King of the ages, O God. Who shall not fear and glorify thy name, O Lord? For thou alone art holy, now alone. All the nations have come and worship thee.
Yeshua up, let the eyes of Israel behold your Son, Messiah King, and the Lord of everything. Let Jacob call on the Holy One. Alleluia, alleluia, oh, alleluia, alleluia, oh, alleluia.
miracle. Hallelujah. Woo.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
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 Oh, give us rain. Oh, Lord, send your rain. Let your spirit wash our hearts with power.
With your power.
And make us new. Make us vessels, Lord, for you. Let the name of God be our strong tower.
Alleluia.
Oh, alleluia.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right, praise God. How many of you know it's darkest before the dawn? Amen. How many of you know the devil, before the greatest breakthroughs in your life, the devil's going to fight you tooth and nail? Before the greatest breakthroughs in your life, the devil's going to fight you tooth and nail. Amen? As long as we don't give up. Everybody say, don't give up.
Don't
as long
give
as you
up.
Don't give up. Sometimes you just got to show up, stand up, and don't give up. Amen?
Amen?
Show up, stand up, and don't give up. And I mean stand up is... get up and praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Again, I
your power as in days of old. Lord, Lord, let your fire fall. Burn up the idols of wood and stone. Lord, Lord, let your fire fall.
We come before you, Father. We offer you our lives. Our hearts are on your altar.
Holy, holy, holy is the
Hallelujah. He's here. The King is in the house. Amen. Raise your hand if you believe the King's in the house. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's just pray. We're going to take an offering, and then I'm going to speak. I'm going to make a brief night tonight, because I'm only going to speak for 2 hours. That's a joke. Just relax, Martha. Give her a blood pressure pill, Fred. I'm just kidding. Just a joke. Bill took me seriously. Anyway, no, I'm seriously. We're gonna take our offering, and then I'm gonna speak, and we're gonna go have some fellowship and have some dinner. We're here celebrating the feast of the Lord, Shavuot, Pentecost, hallelujah, at the appointed time and the appointed place. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. You don't sound too excited out there.
Hallelujah.
Everybody's excited.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. All right. So let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to give back what you've given and blessed us and so abundantly, Lord, in our lives, Lord. You take care of our needs. You take care of our... you've put me up at night in homes when I was traveling. And as an evangelist, Lord, you've put me up in palaces. You've put me up in you know, places I never dreamed I'd stay in, Lord. You've done amazing things for me in my life, and I know you've done it for many others here as well. And I just want to thank you and praise you for your wonderful deeds and your goodness, for your love, for your loving kindness, Lord. And now you own cattle on 1,000 hills, Lord, so we're just giving back what little bit of what you've given to us, Lord. It all belongs to you. So, Lord, I just pray that you put on each person's heart what you'd have them to give tonight. Those who have a tithe, they know what they're doing. Those who want to make a love offering. I always tell people, if you have a home congregation, I encourage people to tithe to their home congregation. But if you'd like to make a love gift here tonight for this service, this special service, you're welcome to do that. And if you're making a check, you can make it to For Zion's Sake. So, and folks at home, if anybody's watching us online, God bless you. And you can give securely online right there. It's right there, right where you're watching. It says donate, and just push that button, and you can give if you like. So, Lord, bless the givers and bless the gifts. Multiply them 100-fold in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, our Messiah. Amen, Lord. Let the seeds fall on good ground tonight, Lord. Good ground. Thank you, God. We just give you the praise. Thank you for your feast. Thank you. Help us open our eyes. Bless the message. Bless the word. In Yeshua's name, Lord, just give me the word tonight. Anoint me. Bind the enemy. Bind the strong man. Heal the sick. Raise up the lame. Open the blind eyes. Unstop the deaf ears. And soften the stony hearts, Lord. In Yeshua's name, amen. Amen. All right, I don't know if we have... You can come, and Anthony demonstrated how to bring an offering.
Holy is the Lamb. Holy is the Lamb for sinners slain. I am the deed was done. Redemption draweth come. Redemption now has come. Glory to him. sinners saved. By him the deed was done, redemption now has come.
Somebody grab my chair over here behind me and just bring that over there, if you would be so kind. I'm going to switch to the other. Test one. Is it on? Yeah, it's on. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Anthony. Yeah. Test one, two. Praise God. All right. Well, first of all, I want to welcome our visitors. Hang on one sec. Did you start? Did you start it? Okay. I just want to welcome everybody, and mostly family here tonight, and even those who don't come all the time are still family, like Fred and Martha. And it's good to see Bruce Smith with us. And Bruce, welcome. Let's give a round of give it up for Bruce. Are you live in Johnson City still?
Sort of.
Between Bristol and Johnson City?
I have a store there.
Okay. All right. Amen. Is it, what's it called?
Aromatones.
Aromatones. Amen. Bruce is the original essential oil guy.
All
right. He was doing essential oils 22 years ago. When I had no idea what an essential oil was. Back then, everybody knows what essential oils are. Now you can get them at gas stations. But that's crazy. I don't know if that's good for you. But I mean,
that's probably not good for you if you're at a gas
station. I get that, yeah. I wouldn't buy one at a gas station. But I'm just saying, you know, they're all over the place. And even in grocery stores, they're selling products made with essential oils. You know, it's...
I love competition.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm not trying to bring that up as like as a matter of. I'm just saying the world has become aware finally of essential oils, you know. But anyhow, and I want to welcome Wendy Shoup and her son. Wendy, would you introduce your son to us? Wendy came all the way from Cleveland, was it?
Athens.
Athens, Tennessee. And what's your name, young man?
Ethan,
that's right. I met Ethan before the service. He's a fine young man. Amen. And so, Wendy, how did you hear about us?
Online.
Awesome. That's great. So on Facebook or on the internet?
A web search.
On a web search. Praise God. Well, we're thrilled you're here, and we've been the only authentic Messianic Jewish congregation in the area for 20 years. Within about 120 miles, there is one in Asheville, and there's one in Knoxville, and now there's one up in Roanoke, but there's one up in Roanoke now, and Tony, I can't remember Tony's last name, but Tony, brother Rabbi Tony's up there, and he runs it. So anyway, welcome. We're glad to have you. And everybody else, we're glad you're here too. And praise the Lord. Let's give it up for Miss Carolyn. She's here. Well, wait till she gets in the room. I was praying for her. She's been hurting and she couldn't come yesterday. She fell last week. And we won't wait. She's talking to somebody. But anyway, she made it. Praise God that she made it. Amen. All right. So thank you, Lord. I'm just... bring forth your word. Well, today is the day of Pentecost, the day of Shavuot. It's the same day. It's the only holiday, Pentecost and Shavuot, that Jews and Christians celebrate, have always celebrated from the birth of Christianity. Jews and Christians have celebrated this holiday. Christians call it Pentecost. Because it of the word Pentecoste. If you turn to Leviticus 23, in Leviticus 23, verse 15, It says, you shall count also for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering. There shall be 7 complete Sabbaths. Okay, now I need bread. I don't have any bread. Any bread. I'm running a matzah and 2 pieces of bread. But anyway, okay, so the sheaf of the wave offering, let me get one. Hang on, I'm coming. I didn't disappear. Doobie doobie doo. All right, I can't. Can somebody help me grab a box of matzah here? Right there, Josh. Give me an open box there on the left. Thank you. Is there any in it? Thank you, buddy. Okay. Okay, so at Passover, what is a wave sheaf offering? A wave sheaf offering, there's 2 harvests in Israel in the spring and early summer. And in the spring, it's the barley harvest. It's a smaller harvest. It's not as big. And the first, so there was always a first fruit offering. From every harvest, there was a first fruit offering. A first fruit means the first, the priest would actually go out into the fields and cut the first fruits of the harvest. And from that, in this case, he would make a cake of unleavened bread. And this is at Passover time. And then it says, so in verse 15, so he would take barley and it would be unleavened. And we won't, it doesn't say it here, but we know that the Bible says in Leviticus, it says that all the grain offerings are to be without leaven. All the grain offerings are to be without leaven, okay? So let's read on. Actually, it actually does say, praise God. Go to Leviticus 2:12. Hold your place there, and let's go read Leviticus 2:12 for a second. This is interesting because God makes an exception on this holiday. Okay. Verse 11, Leviticus 2. No grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven. Leaven is yeast. What does yeast cause dough to do? Rise. Amen? To become puffed up, just like our heads become puffed up with sin. Amen? So no, it says, the Lord said in Leviticus chapter 2, verse 11, no grain offering which you bring to the Lord shall be made with leaven, for you shall not offer up in smoke any leaven or any honey as an offering by fire to the Lord. As an offering of first fruits, you shall bring them to the Lord, but they shall not ascend for a soothing aroma on the altar. Okay? So it wasn't supposed to have leaven. Are you following me? Amen? So if you look in verse 15 of Leviticus 23, you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be 7 complete Sabbaths. So on the Sabbath, on the Saturday of Passover, was the day of the wave offering. And the priest would take the first fruits of the barley harvest, and he'd bake a cake, a flat cake. I don't know if it was round or if it was square. I don't know if it was big or if it was small. But it was something like this, okay? And he would wave it before, Edersheim says he would wave it kind of like in the sign of a cross. He'd kind of wave it like this. And, you know, he'd wave it in the holy place before God to accept God would and ask God to accept the offering. Okay? Now, we know, you know, those of you who've done Passover with me, you know that the bread is pierced, right? Thanks, buddy. Okay. You know the bread is pierced on Passover, the unleavened bread, right? Because the Bible says, the rabbis have 3 rules about the bread of Passover. It has to be pierced. That they don't say why, it just has to be pierced. But the Bible says, Zechariah 12 says, they shall look upon me whom they've pierced as a father mourns for an only son. Isaiah said he was pierced for our transgressions. Amen? If you notice, the bread is striped. Isaiah said, by his stripes we are healed. Amen? And the rabbis, the third rule that the rabbis have is that it must be unleavened. And leaven is a picture of sin. In 1 Corinthians 5, 6, and 7, it says, "For Messiah, our Passover is sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." So the bread that he's talking about, that Paul's talking about, isn't physical bread. He's saying, let us keep the feast not with the leaven of malice and wickedness, of sin, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Amen? Of sincerity and truth. So he's using bread as a reference to talk about sinlessness. And so if Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," would he be a hot dog roll? Would he be a hot dog roll? Or would he be a piece of unleavened bread? Right? Unleavened, right? Who votes for hot dog roll? We're going to have hot dogs afterwards, so don't you wish you were here? See, I'm eating the hot dog roll. If you came, you'd have had one. We bought a ton of hot dogs, all beef, kosher. But you missed out. It's not too late to get here, though. Okay. So if Jesus was a piece of bread, would he be a hot dog roll or would he be a piece of matzah? Matzah. Because he's sinless and leaven, and matzah is unleavened bread. Amen? Amen? It's unleavened bread. So the priest would wave, I call this the Yeshua offering or the Jesus offering. The priest would take one piece of unleavened bread on Passover on the day before, on the day on Shabbat, and he'd wave it before the Lord to accept, you know, to accept the harvest. Amen? To accept the harvest. Praise God. Okay. I call it, like I said, the Yeshua offering because it represents Yeshua on Passover. Amen? All right. Now, let's go on here. So it says in verse 15, "You shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering." When was that? On the Saturday of Passover, right? Count seven Sabbaths. That's 7 weeks from Passover, the Sabbath of Passover. To the morrow, what does it say? To the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, there shall be, you shall count 50 days to the day after the, verse 16, to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring it from your dwelling places, two loaves, or hot dog rolls, two loaves of bread for a wave offering made with 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour baked with leaven. Whoa, didn't we just read in Leviticus 2 that grain offerings would have no leaven in them? Amen? Didn't we just read that? Yes. And all of a sudden, right here, he's saying, on Pentecost, on Shavuot, well, first of all, how do we get the name Pentecost? What is Shavuot? Everybody say Shavua. That means, we say Shavua Tov. Everybody say Shavua Tov. That means have a good week. Okay, the word Shavua means week. So Shavuot is plural for weeks. So the Jews called this, since there's seven Sabbaths, 7 weeks, right? 7 weeks plus one day. The Jews called it the Feast of Weeks. Or the Bible calls it the Feast of Weeks. But then you have the Christians called it Pentecoste in Greek, meaning 50th, as in 50 days, because it says, you shall count, verse 16, 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall present, what's the day after the seventh Sabbath? This is the seventh Sabbath after, a day after the seventh Sabbath from Passover today. What day is today? Sunday, Pentecost, the first day of the week, right? Okay, so today is Pentecost Sunday. It's always on a Sunday. Some people argue about that. They argue that, you know, if the Sabbath of Passover begins on a Tuesday, then Shavuot is, you know, the Sabbath starts Wednesday, and they start counting 7 Wednesdays, and then they'll have it on Thursday. Some do that. I don't follow that. To me, whatever the first Sabbath is during Passover, that's when you start counting, And then it's always on a Sunday. Pentecost is always Shavuot, Pentecost, always on a Sunday. That's the way I would teach it. It's the simplest way to look at it. For unification and unity, we might as well just all do it on Sunday, the whole world. But that's my view. But I don't have the whole world in my hands like he does, so. Anyway, all right, I'm having trouble with this thing tonight, so I'm going to take it off for a second. I'm losing a lot of things tonight. What did I just lose? Matzo box. Okay. All right, let's go on here. So you shall bring in from your dwelling places two loaves as a wave offering made with two-tenths of an ephah. They shall be baked of fine flour, baked with leaven as first fruits to the Lord. Okay, so if this one is the Yeshua offering at Passover, if this is Yeshua, right, then 50 days later when we take two, what if leaven is like sin, we have two loaves, who does this represent? Did Yeshua have sin? No. So we got two loaves with a little sin in them, right? Who do they represent? The Gentiles, yeah. And the Jews. Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, one in Yeshua, one in the olive tree. Jew and Gentile, that's what it is. So the Lord said, I'm taking off, guys, and I'm going to leave you to get it right. I'm leaving you behind to work it out. Oh, boy. You remember that song? You know, one time, a couple years at the Messiah Conference, it's where I speak in July. I've been invited to speak this year. Hopefully I'll make it, because I fell on my back 2 weeks ago and I hurt myself. And hopefully I'll make it to the Messiah Conference. But anyway, I'm scheduled to speak there on the key of David, Isaiah 22, the key that opens the door that no man can shut and shuts the door that no man can close. Amen? Opens the door that no man can open and shuts the door that no man can close. That's my message at the Messiah Conference in Pennsylvania. And you can go to mjaa.org if you want to look that conference up. It's at Messiah College in Grantham, Pennsylvania. It's the first week of July. I'll be teaching on July 3rd at 9 o'clock in the morning in the chapel. So come out and see me. But anyway, so I was talking to a woman last night on Facebook. You know, people say to me, it's funny. They'll say to me, they say, Joe, I'll post something kind of prophetic because I'm prophetic. I mean, you know, if you know me, you know I'm prophetic. I teach prophetic. I'm not saying I'm a prophet. If God shows you I'm a prophet, praise the Lord. But I'm just saying I teach prophetically. And so what's my point is, so I'm sharing last night something prophetic. And people start attacking me. Not unusual on Facebook. And anyway, so this woman, somebody said to me, and they said, oh, you need to read Jonathan Kahn. Well, you know, you guys don't know this, but I have shared apartments with Jonathan Kahn, Don and I, for the last 15, not lately, because now he probably gets like fancy hotels and, you know, penthouse suites because he's Jonathan Kahn. But back when he drove a white Ford Taurus for about 10 years, a 1995 Ford Taurus or a 97 Ford Taurus, I think it was, 96, 97, you know, and he was very modest. He's probably still a modest, humble guy. But back then, before he'd written all his multi-million selling books and was speaking all over the world and ministering at White House prayer breakfasts and speaking at Congress, he shared apartments with us. He would be upstairs and we'd be downstairs. We'd be downstairs, he'd be upstairs. And, you know, so I've known Jonathan Kahn for a long time. And so some lady says to me, she says, you need to read Jonathan Kahn's book, such and such. And I posted a picture of me and Jonathan Kahn. And I said, I speak with Jonathan Kahn at least once a year, if not twice. I'm with him at conferences usually twice a year. And I at least speak at the conference where he's at at least once a year, you know, I'm speaking. He's always, you know, of course, he gets the main stage. He's one of the top four selling authors in all of Christianity. Okay? I have met in this town, not in this town, I've met two of the biggest selling Christian authors in history. Bruce Wilkinson, I had dinner with him in Bristol, and 30 other people, Don and I. He's the author of Prayer of Jabez and Secrets of the Vine. He came to Bristol one night and we had dinner with him. He's one of the top four selling authors in all of Christianity, believe it or not. Jonathan Kahn is one of the top four selling authors in all of Christianity and Messianic Judaism in history. Isn't that amazing? And who am I, little Rabbi Joe Bell, that I would meet these guys and have anything to do with them, you know? Little rabbi from Bristol, you know? But God gave me a revelation, and I shared the revelation, you know, and on Facebook, somebody, CNN, this is what it was, CNN said that Trump would be elected again. And CNN, yeah, that was the news. You know, that's why I posted it. CNN said, and they projected, Donald Trump's going to win a second term. Now, I based it on Daniel 8, but I said it in sermons in February of 1996, 9 or 10 months before he was elected to his first term. And Fred knows that. I said that he'd be elected to a second term, right? You know, and Fred's been, my buddy Fred back here has been, and other folks have been out sharing that newsletter, The Last President of the United States, part one and part two. He's been sharing it with hundreds. I've preached that message in Pennsylvania to thousands. I've preached it in Florida at conferences. I've preached it to large churches in North Carolina, in Kentucky, in Tennessee, in Virginia. I've preached it in a lot of different places, and in Orlando, and this woman starts arguing with me. And I said, "Ma'am, with all due respect, you don't know who I am." And she's right, "You're right, I don't know who you are." So I said, "Before you judge me, why don't you check me out? Why don't you just read my articles and study them before you judge me?" Okay? And she couldn't bring herself to do that, so we're no longer friends on Facebook. Because I have no use for people that won't read. If you won't, the Bible says, come let us reason together, amen? Come let us reason together. But if we can't talk to each other as believers, what's the point? And I don't want, I'm always going to hijack my Facebook page and tell me what I'm going to talk about, and you're going to criticize me. You better have an answer for your criticism, amen? Because I predicted by the God, by I believe the revelation of God, I predicted that Donald Trump would be president two times, 9 months before he was elected even the first time. And I wasn't even a Trump supporter. I was a Ted Cruz supporter. What was his nickname for Ted Cruz? Little Ted? Oh, that was Little Marco. What was Ted's nickname? I don't know. Sleepy Ted? Oh, no, that was Bush. I don't know. Lazy Ted. No, that was Bush. I don't know. Anyway, he had a nickname for everybody. But I was a Cruz supporter, not a Trump supporter. And but I read Daniel 8, and I saw that this goat from the west was going to fly over the whole earth without touching the ground, and it was going to attack the ram, which is Persia. And it was, and the angel, I think it was Gabriel, came down and told the prophet, called the prophet Daniel. He said, "This is for the end of days. This is for the end of days." He said it twice. Not now. This is for the very end of days. And now traditional theologians teach that chapter is talking about Alexander the Great, and I don't dispute that. It is talking about Alexander the Great. However, it says there's another problem. The ram in that chapter, which is Persia, had two horns. Now, prophetically, a horn represents a king. Everybody say that. Prophetically, a horn represents a king and a nation and a military. So the Persian ram had two horns. But when Alexander the Great fought Darius III at Gaugamela, amen, on the battlefields of Gaugamela, there was only one Darius III, only one king, of Medo-Persia. One king. And he ran like a rat. And Alexander hunted him down till he killed him. He had two battles. And I forget the name of the second battle, but he killed him in the second one. Okay? One king should be one horn. So the two horns indicate two leaders in the end of day. So the Persia of the end of days, what am I saying? I'm saying that prophecy has dual fulfillment. Most biblical prophecy, in Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son." Well, that was a prophecy to King Ahaz that I think it was the Syrians wouldn't attack, wouldn't go to war. If the virgin conceived and bore a son, then that would be that would be a sign to King Ahaz that there would be no war with either Syria or Assyria. I can't remember. I think it might have been Assyria. Okay, that the Assyrians wouldn't attack King Ahaz. And you know, the virgin could see. But that prophecy had a double fulfillment. Because we all know Emmanuel. How's it go? Emmanuel. God with us. You know, it's a Christmas song. It's about, people sing it about Jesus. So King Ahaz and the prophet Isaiah weren't singing it about Jesus. But it was a prophecy about what was going on 700 years before Jesus. It was also a prophecy of Jesus. Amen? Just as this bread in Leviticus 23, which Moses was told to wave, and the children of Israel would wave this every year they celebrated Pentecost or Shavuot, they waved bread because why? They were waiting for the day when the bread of life would come into Jerusalem. Amen. And say, "Hey guys, I am the wave offering." You see, God used bread to fulfill the prophecy until the bread of life showed up. Amen? Is that cool? Now, we are not hot dog buns. Amen? Although these are particularly tasty ones. I've really enjoyed my few bites that I've had. But somebody got good hot dog buns. Anyway, these represent Jew and Gentile, but this hot dog bun is not a Jew, and this one's not a Gentile, right? As far as I know. If it was a Jew, I over-circumcised it. Moving right along. Okay. I thought that was funny. I don't know. I took a big bite out of it. You know what? What can I say? It's a hot dog roll, guys. It's just a roll. It's not a Jew and Gentile. So on this day, God violates His own word and says, "Take two leavened loaves," which we read in Leviticus 2. Don't use leaven for the grain offering. And God has an exception. Everybody say God makes an exception to His own word, and tells us to take two loaves of leavened bread and wave them on this holiday as a wave offering. And this is the wheat harvest. Right now in Israel is the time of the wheat harvest, not the barley. And the wheat harvest is much bigger than the barley harvest. And it represents not a harvest of hot dog buns, but a harvest of souls. Jewish souls and Gentile souls. Amen? Glory to God. But since for 1,400 years from the time God told Moses to do it, they didn't have, Yeshua wasn't there. Well, He was there, but He was invisible, right? He didn't make Himself known. He was hidden, right? He was always there, but He was hidden. So instead they used bread until the bread of life showed up in town one day. Until one Pentecost. Well, actually, He wasn't there that Pentecost. Why wasn't He there? Because 10 days before He ascended on Bethany. He ascended on high. Amen? And He said on Luke 24:49, He said, "Stay in the city until you be imbued with power, until you be clothed with power." Amen? He said, stay in the city until you be imbued with power, clothed with power. Amen? So he's telling his disciples an old commandment. He was giving them the same commandment. Because go back to Leviticus 23, verse 1 and 2. Same chapter, verse 1 and 2 and 3. The Lord spoke again to Moses, speaking to the sons of Israel. Say to them, the Lord's appointed times, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations. My appointed times are these. Okay, this is fancy language for God. The Lord's appointments, which you shall proclaim as church or synagogue. Have a service. What's a holy convocation? It's what you're doing now. You came here to worship God, right? That's a holy convocation. A convocation is an assembly. A holy one means it's set apart for God. That's all it is. So when you come to worship God, that's a holy convocation. So God is saying, and he says in verse 3, for 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, a holy convocation. Okay, so the word holy convocation in Hebrew is mikre kodesh. Everybody say that, mikre kodesh. And it also means rehearsal. Everybody say rehearsal. So for 1,400 years before Jesus, we were rehearsing with bread until the day when Yeshua walked into town and fulfilled the prophecy. Isn't that awesome? A mikre kodesh is not only a solemn assembly, it also means rehearsal. And we were, for 1,400 years, since we didn't have, they didn't have Yeshua before, it was before he was born. He was there, but he was hidden. You know what I'm saying? Only he only revealed himself to certain people. So they had bread. And then one year he showed up, and then they didn't need bread anymore because they had the bread of life. Amen? Praise God. All right. So it says here, so you're to do two things. So what's an appointed time? As my dentist called me. My physical therapist called me up today. They texted me. They said, you have an appointed time on Monday at 2 p.m. My car repair shop said, you have an appointed time at 10:30 on Monday. What's an appointed time? An appointment. Amen? An appointment. It's just a fancy word for an appointment, right? That's all it is. So, anyway, that's what God was saying. So the word moed, everybody say moed, means appointed time or appointment. And the word mikre kodesh means holy convocation or to come assemble together in the house of God and have worship God, have service, have church, have synagogue, amen, funeral, feast, wedding, whatever it is, baptism, waving hot dog buns, whatever it is God's called you to do. I used to use bagels and then I'd roll them down the aisle. But I don't have bagels tonight, I have hot dog buns. And you're going to get to have your own hot dog bun just in a little while. Amen? You're going to get your very own. Oz, are you excited about that?
Oh, yes.
Amen. I thought so. I can tell. Amen. Who doesn't like a good hot dog? All right. We don't get to go to professional ball games around here, but we can eat hot dogs. Okay, so today is the day of Pentecost, and there's eight. If you read Leviticus 23, there are eight appointed times, eight appointments when God says he's going to meet with you. Amen? Eight times. Now, God can meet with you in your bed when you're dreaming. He can meet with you when you're reading your Bible. He can meet with you when you're driving your car. God can meet with you walking down the road. God can meet with you in the shower. God can meet with you in a prison cell. God can meet with you anywhere he chooses, but he guarantees to meet with you on his appointed times. Amen? He says, these are his appointments to meet with him. And this house should be filled with people to meet him.
Amen.
And just going to church today was not celebrating the feast. If your church didn't celebrate Pentecost, that wasn't Pentecost. You just went to church. Okay? You just went to church. If a church didn't celebrate Pentecost, it was just church. It's what's in your heart Our heart tonight is to celebrate the feast and to meet with the Lord. His appointed time. Amen? I'm not bashing church. God loves church. God loves Christians. I'm pro-church. I'm pro-Christian. I'm pro-Messianic. I'm pro-Messianic Jewish. I believe we have to work it out. We'll have to love one another. Amen? I'm in favor of both. I have no problem. But there's a lot of churches today that don't celebrate Pentecost. I think part of the reason is, and I'm going to be honest with you, I think from my observation of 20 years and 22 years of this, being in the faith, I've observed as kind of an outsider, a Jew who's come to Yeshua, to Jesus, I've observed the church, and I think that the churches that don't that aren't Pentecostal tend to be threatened by the name Pentecost. I feel they get threatened by the name Pentecost because it has so associated with tongues. Amen? But God poured out His Spirit on Elisha. Remember, Elisha got a double portion? Did he speak in tongues when he smote? He got the double portion when the mantle of Elijah fell down from heaven and the student got the mantle of the master, you know, and it fell down. The mantle of Elijah came down from heaven and he caught it and he took it. He took the mantle of Elijah and it says he smote. Elijah, notice, Elisha didn't perform. If you read from 1 Kings 19 to 1 Kings 23 or to 2 Kings 2, all the way to 2 Kings 2, Elisha doesn't perform one miracle until Elijah gives him a double portion. And once the mantle fell and Elijah was taken up to heaven, then Elisha, immediately, he takes the mantle and he strikes the Jordan River. Now, that would offend a religious Jew, what I just did. It would be, they'd look at it as disrespectful. So forgive me if you're Jewish and you're religious, but that's what he did. He took his mantle, his prayer shawl, and he struck the Jordan River. And I can't do it without doing that to show. So that's not the way you treat a prayer shawl generally. It's treated more respectfully. And you don't put them on the ground, okay? But in the Bible, it happened. It fell to the ground, you know? And he picked it up. He picked it up, and he smote the Jordan River. He smote the Jordan River. And then the river parted, just like Joshua parted the river, just like Moses parted the Red Sea, amen? And what did the sons of the prophets do? They bowed down before Elisha and they said, Elisha is the prophet. He is the man of God now. Elijah's gone, but Elisha. And they offered to go help look for Elijah. They thought Elijah had, like, you know, quit and, you know, quit the job and gone to Disney World. They offered to go look for him, but the chariot of Israel had taken him up in a whirlwind. They didn't see it. They didn't know where he went. He disappeared. Only one who saw it was Elisha. Nobody else. So the sons of the prophets said, well, let's go help you find him because the guy must be, you know, he's hiding behind a rock somewhere. He wasn't hiding behind a rock. You notice if you read 2 Kings 2, after Elisha receives the mantle from Elijah, he receives the double portion. He begins performing miracles, begins raising the dead, he begins healing the sick, he begins healing the widow, the Shunammite widow's son. He not only heals her son, he opens her womb with God's help. She couldn't have a son, and he prayed for her, and she was able to have a son. Amen? And then the son died, and he got on top of him, and kind of like he gave mouth-to-mouth resuscitation up in the upper room that she had built for him, and the boy came back to life. And Elisha started performing all these miracles, and then there was one point in the scripture, I think it's Elisha, verse chapter 21 or 23, where the king Ahab. Is so, or Ahaz, one of the kings, is so angry with Elisha that he sends a captain with 50 men to kill him. And Elisha says, maybe I've got the prophets mixed up, but he says, If I'm a man of God, then let fire fall and strike these men dead. And fire fell and struck the captain and the 50 men dead. Then the king sent another 50 men and a captain to get the prophet. And he says, if I'm a man of God, let fire from heaven fall and consume these 50 men and their captain. And the second batch of 50 men got burned to toast, and the captain with them. So then the king sent a third captain with 50 men, and this time the third captain came on his knees. And he said, please, please save my life. Please don't kill me. And God said to him, go with these men. They won't harm you. They were terrified of him. They were absolutely terrified of the prophet. Amen? And if you read from 2 Kings on, you'll see all these miracles. In fact, when Elisha died, they buried him, and some marauders came by, and they just tossed this body of a dead man. I mean, he was a marauder. And they threw him in the, and he happened to throw his body into the grave of Elisha, and he touched the bones of Elisha, and he rose from the dead. Elisha performed a miracle. His bones performed a miracle. A guy rose from the dead just because he touched the guy's bones. Wow. And you know, if you actually count the miracles that Elisha performed, you'll see that he performed exactly double what Elijah did. Praise God. Double what Elijah did. Okay. So, you know, I want to challenge you that there's a scripture that says, having a form of religion but denying the power thereof. There's a verse in the Bible that says, having a form of religion but denying the power thereof. I find in general, and I won't name churches and I won't name pastors or anything like that, but I find there's a lot of religion in this area and in the world. And I find that there's a lot of people who have a form of religion. And the whole reason that I sought Jesus is because I was looking for power. Power. Dunamis. Power. Amen? I wanted the power of God in my life to change my life, to give me a new life, to open doors that no man could open, to set closed doors that no man could close. I wanted to know that God was alive, that God was real, and that He had power. Yeah, I went to the synagogue of the owner of where the owner of the New England Patriots went, where Sheldon Adelson, the man who gave $100 million to Donald Trump, attended synagogue. Congressman Barney Frank went there. All these famous and rich and wealthy people, and they came with their $1,400 Armani suits, and the women wore their $10,000 Armani jackets, and it was fancy and schmancy and beautiful, and gold here and gold there, and beautiful Torah and a beautiful synagogue. And my mother would say to me, why don't you become a real rabbi? She'd say to me. One of my mother's famous lines to me all through the years, why don't you become a real rabbi? What was a real rabbi? One who made $500,000 or so. That's what they pay those guys in the big synagogues, not here in Bristol. The real rabbis, according to my mother, they're the ones who make $500,000, $700,000 a year, like a neurosurgeon, okay? You know, that's a real rabbi. That was a real rabbi to my mother. I wasn't a real rabbi. Well, I just ignored humbly, you know, I kept my mouth shut and just said, thanks, Mom. Appreciate your vote of confidence in what I'm doing. I'll just stick with where I am. Thank you. Because I know what I'm doing is building up treasures that are incomprehensible. And I want to just tell you something. Storing up treasures in heaven. We had a prayer meeting Wednesday night here. And there's four people that come almost every week. Me, two women, and Bill Batiste. Now, this particularly, last week we had one, two, three people that don't usually come. They come sometimes. But the four core group that comes every single week, week after week after week after week after week after week, and y'all know who you are, those of you who are in this room, who come every week,
And it's no disrespect to the people who were visiting or just showed up that night, but the Spirit fell when we were praying. The Holy Spirit fell, and Carolyn walked in about 5 minutes after. Karen, did you get touched by the Holy Spirit that night? It was just, the fire fell. We sang, Lord, Lord, let your fire fall. Amen.
Right. Awesome.
It was awesome, wasn't it? I hadn't seen a meeting like that in years. I hadn't seen a meeting where God was, just the fire of God was falling. I've seen the power of God. God has given me his power to use. He's given me his power to use as he see fits, when he see fits. Amen? He's given it to me. I'm not going to go into how. I'm just going to say, T.L. Lowry laid a double portion on me. Dr. Evie Hill gave me his mantle as a pastor. Paul Wilbur laid his mantle on me for as a worship leader. My wife and I, Paul Wilbur, we asked him to bless us and give us his mantle as worship leaders. Now, we're not Paul Wilbur, but we're not too shabby. I mean, we get the job done, right? Did you enter into worship tonight?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. It's because of the anointing. Now, Dr. Evie Hill, I needed a mantle of a pastor. So I asked Dr. Evie Hill. I got the mantle. They brought this evangelist who used to preach. This is back in 2002 in the summer. They brought an evangelist from India named Dr. K.A. Paul. He's since fallen from grace. Maybe he's been restored. I don't know. But he was ministering to groups of 2 million people in Africa, I remember. And he came, and a young preacher said to me, he said, Rabbi Joe, a friend of mine, Sam Smith, said to me, Rabbi Joe, some of the great men of God, now he's a Pentecostal preacher, and he said, Rabbi Joe, some of the great men of God are leaving this world, and I want the mantle of a great man of God. And I had been teaching on the mantle of Elijah at that time. And I thought, wow, I never thought about going up to a great man of God. He said, now in his world, I didn't know much about Kenneth Hagin, but he said, Kenneth Hagin's passing away, and Oral Roberts is getting ready to leave, and Billy Graham's getting old, and he starts naming all these people. And I thought, wow, I never really thought about asking a great man of God, for his mantle. Amen? Who thinks of that? Would you think of that? If I didn't tell you, would you just think to go, like Elisha asked Elijah, Elijah said, what will you ask of me? What can I give you? He said, give me a double portion of your spirit. Give me your mantle. Amen? And so, I was teaching on that message on the double portion, but I never thought to go up to a man of God. I was teaching about Elijah and Elisha for weeks and weeks, but I never thought to actually go up to somebody and say, hey, can I have your mantle? Well, you know what? I'm an evangelist. My calling was as an evangelist. And I knew in my head, because I went to law school and I went to college, I went to high school, and I graduated with honors. And I'm not the brightest bulb, but I'm not the dumbest one either. Okay? And something told me I didn't have what a pastor needed in here. So I went to Dr. Evie Hill. So wait a second. First I went to K.A. Paul. Now, K.A. Paul came to Science Hill High School. He's the little Indian evangelist. And when he first came in May of 2002, they were going to have a big crusade or meeting at the Speedway, Bristol Motor Speedway, the largest stadium in the United States of America. The largest stadium. It seats 160,000 to 180,000 people. And it's the largest stadium in the United States of America. And they were going to have a crusade there with Dr. K.A. Paul. And Dr. Bill McCartney from Promise Keepers, which was still a very big ministry back in 2002, he got up on stage in Freedom Hall, which holds about 5,000 people. And he said, I'm not worthy to untie the sandals of this man's shoe. I'm not worthy to untie the... You probably don't know this little Indian guy, he said to me. To everybody. He said to everybody, you probably don't know this little Indian guy that's with me here tonight. But I'm not worthy to untie his sandal. I said, wow, that's impressive. You're Bill McCartney from Promise Keepers. And all these big guys, these, you know, big well-known guys were getting up and saying, this guy is amazing. Okay. I never seen him before in my life. Then they showed a video of him with crowds of 1 million people and 2 million people. And he's had thousands of people are coming. He's giving altar calls and thousands of people are coming forward to receive Jesus, to receive Christ in India and Africa. Thousands and thousands of people. So many people, I couldn't count. More than Billy Graham. I've seen hundreds go to Billy Graham. I've been to a Billy Graham crusade. I've seen hundreds come forward. I'm talking thousands were coming forward. And there was a crowd of 1 million. You know what a crowd of 1 million looks like? You can't see how the end of it. A crowd of 1 million people is so far back that you cannot see how far back it goes. Your eyesight, the horizon ends before you can see. It becomes a blur. It just becomes a blur. There's so many people. And they have screens, video screens, so those people can see and hear. And so there I am. So they were going to have a crusade here in Bristol in July. And it was May of 2002. And I'm in Freedom Hall. And there's Dr. K.A. Paul, and Bill McCartney says, I'm not worthy to untie this guy's sandals, even though you never heard of him. And so I went up, somebody introduced me to him, and what did I do? I shook his hand. What do you do when you meet somebody? I saw the president, he went to meet the queen the other day, and it's kind of awkward meeting the queen because nobody really knows what to do. When they meet the queen of England, nobody kind of knows what to do. You know, women are supposed to curtsy, men are supposed to bow, I think. The president went to shake her hand, but she didn't. She put her hand out like this. So he took her hand, he went underneath her hand, and he grabbed it, and he went like this, then he went like this. And the media had a field day with it. They're like, well, it was interesting what he did with the queen's hand. It wasn't quite protocol, but you know, she was smiling, and he lifted it up and down, and he shook it side to side, and that's how the president shook the queen's hand. You know, so that's what you do when you meet someone. You go, you know, in America, you shake their hand, typically. You know, this day and age, if you even look up from your cell phone, shaking hands is a rare thing. But it used to be common about 10 years ago, 12 years ago, you know. Anyway, so I shook his hand. But then they were going to have the crusade. So July, 3 months later, July comes around, and there's no crusade. There's no crusade. And I'm like, this was just a bunch of men. Rich men came and famous men. They were trying to buy a revival. This was just rich people trying to buy. They were buying. It was money. The Hunt brothers were here. Some wealthy men in town were there. And I thought, this was just money trying to buy a revival for this town. I didn't believe it. And so somebody called me in August after the crusade that never happened. It was a Thursday night, and they said, K.A. Paul's back in town. And I said, I can't go. I'm busy. I've got plans. I did. I had plans that night. Sorry. Then my plans fell through. They canceled. And somebody else called me and said, Dr. K.A. Paul's going to be at Science Hill High School in Johnson City. Would you like to come? And I said, well, my plan's canceled. I guess I'll go. What the heck? So I went there, and there's about 120 people, and it seats about, the Science Hill Auditorium seats about 800 people. It must have all been Baptists, because Baptists like to sit in the back. So everybody's sitting in the back of the room. Everybody's sitting in the back of the room. And Dr. Paul says, he gets up, and he says, everybody, he's a little guy, he says, everybody, come to the front. He says, don't worry, I won't lay hands on you. And all of a sudden, I remembered Pastor Sam Smith said, I wanted the mantle of a great man of God, he said. And I said, lay hands! It just came out of me. And I'm shouting, lay hands! And then God spoke. I believe God spoke to me. I heard a voice that said to me, Joe, when this meeting's over, I want you to go up to that man and ask him for his mantle. So I walked up to the front of the stage, and other people were shaking his hand afterward, like I did the first time I met him in May, but now this is August. And I went up to him, I said, Dr. Paul, and he's on a stage like where I am. a little bit higher than me, you know. And I said, Dr. Paul, would you bless me? Would you anoint me and give me your mantle? And he knelt down and he put his hand on my head and he prayed down the fire of God on my head. I felt like I robbed Fort Knox. And do you know what that mantle did? In November, let's say August, September, October, November. 4 months later, I was invited to the National Press Club, and I'm speaking on a panel. They needed a rabbi, and Dr. Paul's organization called me to speak with Governor on a panel with Governor Mike Huckabee, Ricky Skaggs, Dr. E.V. Hill, and Gary Smalley. You know, the personality and Christian psychologist. You know, Dr. Gary Smalley was there, and many other famous people that I don't even remember. And I remember meeting Ricky Skaggs, and we had a nice chat. And I was very cognizant. They put me up in a 5-star hotel. The men who were hosting him, and you know, I'm not used to living like this. And they took us out to a fancy dinner. And then the next day, I'm at the National Press Club having breakfast. And Dr. K.A. Paul comes up and grabs me while I'm getting my. Now, one thing, I don't mess with me when I'm getting my pastry and my orange juice and my coffee. Don't mess with me when I'm getting my pastry, my orange juice, and my coffee. Let me eat it. But Dr. K.A. Paul came and grabbed me by the scruff of the neck and dragged me over and said, Rabbi Bell. He says, Governor Huckabee, this is Rabbi Bell. And I said, Governor Huckabee, pleasure to meet you. I put down my pastry and my orange juice. Pleasure to meet you, Governor Huckabee. I had no idea he was going to run twice for president, or three times, whatever. Have a TV show and become super famous and all that, you know. I had no idea. He's just governor of Arkansas. But I was still pretty nervous meeting him. And there I was on a panel at the National Press Club. You know, that used to have that sign, that round sign that said, the National Press Club. And I was there on a panel speaking. And I gave a speech at the National Press Club, and the media's there. Me, little old Rabbi Joe, what am I doing there? Proverbs 30, verse 18, I believe, says, the gift of God will bring you before great men. The gift of God will bring you before great men. I had received a gift spiritually, and it brought me before great men. Isn't that awesome? 4 months, and there I am at the National Press Club, bop, hanging out with Ricky Skaggs. Hey, Ricky. You know, I never met him again. He's been to Bristol for the Rhythm and Roots, but you know, there I was that day. But I noticed one thing that day. I was around Dr. E.V. Hill. How many of you ever heard of Dr. E.V. Hill? Raise your hand. Okay, seen him on TBN, famous pastor, right? Baptist pastor, big church in Los Angeles, on television, all national internet, worldwide satellite television, famous guy. Now he's been dead for about 10, 12 years. But I'm sitting with him all day long. I find myself just, but I didn't pick it. I just happened to be next to him all day long. And I gave him a book called Your People Shall Be My People, a book about Messianic Judaism. And he's reading it. And we're talking, and he's asking me questions. And then there was a Republican governor's meeting that afternoon. And so the Governor Huckabee and Dr. Paul went into the Republican governor's meeting at the Hilton across the street, and they left the rest of us in the lobby, downstairs below the lower lobby. And we're down there, and guess who I'm sitting next to? Dr. E.V. Hill. And a voice says to me, ask him for his mantle as a pastor. So I went to Dr. E.V. Hill and I said, Dr. Hill, would you bless me? Would you give me your mantle as a pastor? And he said, I'd be glad to do that, Joe. We'd become friends that day. He said, I'd be happy to do that. I got down on one knee like a knight before a king. And he put his hand on my head and he blessed me. And he gave me the gift, the mantle. He said, Lord, give this young man everything I have as a pastor. I needed that pastor's heart because I was an evangelist. I got it. I got that pastor's heart. later on, or about the same time, I got a double portion from T.L. Lowry. How many people, now Fred, you guys weren't always going to that church, but I would venture to say there's probably not more than 1,000 people in the country walking around who have received a double portion from T.L. Lowry. I would venture to say he's anointed people and prayed for people, but I don't think there's more than 1,000, maybe 2, in the whole country that have received a double portion from T.L. Lowry. Would you agree with that? And I would say in your church, until I anointed your pastor, I don't think anybody had that mantle. I don't think until I came. He brought me there that day. God brought me that day. And I'm not saying that to boast. I'm just saying he's gone. T.L. Lowry's gone. And how many people thought to go up and say, Dr. Lowry, would you give me a double portion of your spirit? How many people thought that? I got it by accident. He was preaching at Shelby Street Church of God, and I was a guest of somebody. I'm sitting in the front row, and Dr. T.L. Lowry finishes his message, and all of a sudden, you know, he had white hair like Andrew Jackson, and his hair was kind of like sticking up straight, and he's a big, tall man with a black suit and a red tie and a white shirt, and he's sweating, and he's wiping off his brow, and he finishes his preaching, and all of a sudden, he lifts his hands, and his eyes go up in his head, And I got nervous. I was like, what's he going to do? And he ran down from the stage. And who does he grab? Me. Right? And he throws me up on the stage. And I went stumbling. It's a much bigger stage than this. And I went stumbling across the stage. I was 32 years old. I went stumbling across the stage. I couldn't do it today. I'd hurt my back. But back then, I didn't hurt. So and I fell. I'm on the ground. And I said, oh man, what happened? And then and that's all he did, is he threw me up on the stage. I said, oh Lord. Then he went and dealt with two other young guys. And I said, oh Lord, please don't let him come at me again. Please let him not. He's dealing with those other guys. Don't let him see me when I get up and go back to my chair. Just let me go back to my seat, okay? And I'll be quiet and tell me at the right moment to get up so that he doesn't see me. And I'll sneak back to my chair and it'll be like nothing ever happened. So I got up and all of a sudden he spins around. And he comes at me and he's got his hand lifted. And he comes at me ready to charge like a bull. And he says, son, God is giving you a double portion. You'll never be the same. Boosh, he hit me in the head. I went flying backward down across the stage again, landed on my back, and I remember hearing voices and hearing shouting and screaming and voices and all this stuff going on, and I'm just aware of it. And I don't know what's going on. And then it quieted down. And then I noticed a guy, I looked caught out of the corner of my eye, sweeping the floor, and I thought, wow, it's over. What happened to me? But I couldn't get up. You know, the Bible talks about the new wine. Well, I got so much of the new wine that I couldn't stand up. If you've never had that much of the new wine, the Bible says it. The new wine is the Holy Spirit. And when you get so much of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you, you'll reach a point where you can't stand up. They had to carry me to my car. They had to carry me to my car. And I put me in my car, and I'm like, what happened? You know, you know, I was just like, wee, this is fun. Let's do it again. You know, and I couldn't move. So my wife goes across the street when she gets me home. She goes to my Christian church and Churches of Christ neighbor, Frozen Chosen. And she goes over to Nate. His name's Nate. And she goes over and says, Nate, I need your help to get Joe in the house. And Nate's like, what's the matter with Joe? And she says, don't ask, Nate. Don't ask. You wouldn't understand. So he says, all right. So he came over and I put one arm around Nate and one arm around Don, and I'm drink. They carried me in the house and threw me in the bed. I went to sleep and I was able to walk the next day. Glory to God. I've never experienced anything like that in my life. Now, if you haven't experienced it, don't negate it. It was real. I'm telling you, it was real. You just haven't experienced it. Now, I carry that mantle. There's several other mantles. I'm not going to go into all the mantles that I carry. I'm just saying, God sent me these mantles of, like Elijah, double portion. Amen? Elisha. And each mantle's for a reason, not just for tongues. Pentecost isn't just about tongues. It happened to be the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples that day, and they spoke in tongues. Why? Because there were men from 150 nations. They needed to speak in a language they could understand so that those men could understand. They spoke in their language. They were given a gift to speak in their native tongue. And then somebody said, aren't these men Galileans, unlearned? How is it they can speak in these languages? They weren't speaking in Karabandi Andarabo Shandere Kendirabo Kurabandi Andarabo. They were speaking in, you know, like bonjour, you know, como tallevous, you know, buenos dias, soy Peter. You know, you know, they were speaking in languages. Amen. And that's how the people understood them. So in Acts 2, God equips you in every chapter where he does a massive outpouring of his spirit, like Elijah and Elisha, where Paul got an Ananias baptized Paul, where Peter got the outpouring on the day of Pentecost, and the cowardly Peter was up there preaching before thousands of people, and 3,000 were added in one day. And 50 days earlier, he was afraid of a little servant girl, right? Something changed. Everybody say something changed. Something changed. Do you know Elisha didn't perform one miracle? And you can read this in 1 Kings 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, all the way to 2 Kings 2. He didn't perform one miracle until he got the double portion. The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Proverbs 18:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. God wants to equip you with the power to accomplish your mission in life. And it's not just about speaking tongues on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost happened to be a day in Acts 2 when the tongues was used. But every time the Holy Spirit was poured out in the Bible didn't necessarily mean a day of speaking in tongues. Okay? King David was filled with the Holy Spirit and he didn't speak in tongues, right? Many, many men of God. Did Elisha speak in tongues? He got the double portion. He parted the Jordan River. Did he speak in tongues? Didn't say it did. Moses parted the Red Sea. Did he say he spoke in tongues? No. He just took his stick. God said, take your staff and strike the water. And it parted in two. He didn't say shum darabo kurobo siandaraba niandaraba boom. It didn't say that. It's not there. I'm not against tongues. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against speaking in tongues. I'm just saying everything that you get from God is for a purpose. Everything that you get, every good and perfect gift from God is for a purpose in your ministry. And we focus too much, and there's too much division in the church between non-Pentecostals and Pentecostals and charismatics. And I love them both. But there's too much division between both because of the word, because of tongues. So let's love one another and put tongues aside. The Bible says, seek the gifts. 1 Corinthians 14 says, seek that she may have the gifts, especially the gift to prophesy. Seek the gifts. Ask God for the gifts, especially that you may prophesy. But I tell you a mystery. Love is the greatest gift of all. Amen? Without love, we have nothing. Without love, we can have all the gifts in the world. Without love, It's just a clanging gong in the ears of God. He's not impressed with men who can go out and break rocks with their hands. You know, he's not impressed with gifts of prophecy. All that's going to pass away. He's more interested that we love one another, and he's more interested, all those gifts that we have are going to pass away, prophecy, everything. The only thing that lasts is the Word of God. The only thing that will endure to the end is the Word of God forever. Amen? Thank you for listening. That's my Pentecost message tonight. If anyone needs prayer, I invite you to come forward and I'll pray for you. And we'll turn on Carol. Maybe you put on Breathe On Me. It would be great. If somebody needs prayer, I'll come. I'll pray. If you need greater anointing, if God's speaking to you, I'll hit you with a hot dog bun. If you want. I won't hit anybody without. You have to want it. You like it, Ethan? Okay. I'll tap you with it. But if you like prayer, Carol's going to put that music on. And the rest of you, if you don't want a prayer, or I ask those who pray to stay and pray for the people that need prayer. But otherwise, you can make your way down to the fellowship hall. We have dinner served. Okay? So Carol's going to turn on some music. And we'll pray for the meal first. Yeah, Father, bless the meal, sanctify it to the nourishment of our bodies, and us to thy service. In Yeshua's name, bless it and let everybody go home happy. Bless our fellowship. Bless our time together. And bless all the people that were supposed to be here that didn't come. Help them to come next time. In Yeshua's name, amen. And God bless the folks on Facebook. And God bless the folks watching at home. We love you. Shabbat shalom. Chag Sameach. Happy Shavuot. Happy Pentecost. This is Rabbi Joe. Shalom. Turn it up, please.